Gracious God, send your Spirit and shine the light of your love upon this passage so that we might hear what you want us to hear. That we might be burdened where you want us to be burdened. That we might be relieved where we need to be relieved. We ask this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is basically the first 44 verses of John 11. It's the story of the raising of Lazarus. Hear now the story. Jesus had a friend from Bethany named Lazarus who was sick. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. The sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." And Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." When they arrived in Bethany, they discovered that many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again, Martha." "I know," she said. "I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here." And she said, "And he's asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met with him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus once more was deeply moved and came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take the stone away," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off his grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. The story of Lazarus is only recorded in the Gospel of John. That's amazing to me. I don't know why. I really don't. It's one of those questions I would really want to ask when I get to heaven. It's going to be one of the questions on that legal sheet. I'm going to get those authors of the Synoptic Gospels and say, look, boys, something this big, something this massive, this miraculous, why would you include it in your gospel? And then I would take John aside and say, of all the great things you included in your gospel, couldn't you have put the Lord's Supper in there? Couldn't you have had the breaking of the bread? There are some things, just questions that I have. Because this is a big one, this thing with John. Now, the Synoptic Gospels, when you get to this point, they do something a little different. In those Synoptic Gospels, Jesus takes the disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. He asks them those questions. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at this point, Jesus tells them, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And they are really taken aback. And then in a few verses, they go up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is transformed with Moses and Elijah. And they come down from the mountain. And the Gospel of Luke says, from this point forward, Jesus was resolute on going to Jerusalem to die. The Gospel of John, in this 11th chapter, tells about the raising of Lazarus. It says at the end there, it says that many people believed, but some didn't. Some believed in Jesus Christ, and then some didn't, and they went to the Pharisees and talked to the Pharisees. The Pharisees went to the Sanhedrin, and they plotted to kill Jesus. Either way you slice it, we read that Jesus is going to die. All there in the Gospel of John. In this account, though, we see some interesting things. We see the stages of grief. People have always talked about, in years gone by, that when someone has died, they might say they've gone asleep. They've gone to sleep. Sometimes we will say they have passed away. We use different words for the words of dying. So when Jesus says that Lazarus was asleep, those disciples were experiencing denial. One of their own, one that they loved, one that they cared for, when they would make their way from Galilee to Bethany to Jerusalem, they would be around Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They were friends of theirs. Sometimes in our lives, when people that we're close to in our same age, no way someone that we love that's our age could ever die. He's going to get better. He's going to get well. That's not always the case, is it? And then when Jesus makes his way to Bethany, not quite there, Martha finds out, and her questions to Jesus are your questions. They're my questions. They're all of our questions. Where were you? Where were you? You got word long time enough to be here. Where were you? I've been praying to you. I've been calling out your name. I've been calling out for healing. I've been calling out to you. Where have you been, Jesus? If you had been here, my brother would be alive. Some of us have prayed those words. We've yelled those words, haven't we? And in the midst of those words, Jesus says, Martha, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then he says, I am the resurrection, and I am life. The ones who believe in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she confesses her faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the one who is to come into the world, the one who is to come in future tense, not the resurrection and the life in the here and now. That's where some of us are. We think of Jesus as the Messiah who is yet to come. We look for His coming again. But He is the resurrection and the life today, in the here and now. We then read that Mary comes, and she says exactly the same words that Martha said. But she has a different response. She is weeping. The people around her are weeping. And Jesus weeps. Those of us in ministry, sometimes we are called to the hospital, we're called to the nursing home, we're called to someone's house, and we go and it's the last moments of somebody's life. Not only is it someone that the family loves, it's also someone that you love. And there are no words to say. There's nothing to say but be there, to be quiet, and to weep with those who weep. Strangely enough, in my ministry, I've had a lot of days that end in weeping. Where we sense the presence of Christ in the midst of the tears. That's what we do. There are times in our lives where there's nothing to say but weep with those who weep. Because see, that's what we're called to do. In the midst of that day, in the midst of that time when they were downcast, they were looking for the Messiah to come. They were looking for someone to answer those prayers. Jesus was there. He was present in their life. He was. I don't know if anybody here is old enough to remember Don Meredith. Don Meredith, he was the first quarterback drafted by the Dallas Cowboys when the Dallas Cowboys became a franchise. He was the first quarterback. And when he finished his career, he then went into broadcasting and he ended up on Monday Night Football. Y'all remember that? With Howard Cosell. He was comic relief in many ways. And one night he came up with a saying. It really wasn't him because he's not that smart. But he came up with a saying, "It ain't over until the fat lady sings." Y'all remember that? Now, that really came from an opera by Wagner. He had, if I had the word, the title of this opera in front of me, I could not pronounce it. I'm doing good to not call Wagner Wagner. But Wagner wrote this opera that's unbelievably long, and there's a character in there that's usually played by a very large, buxom woman. And someone was talking about this opera, and they said, "Well, when this happens, you'll think it's over, but it's not. And when you think this is going to happen, it should be time for it to be over, but it's not. And when this happens, it's not over either. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. And as soon as the fat lady sings, it's over." Well, Don Meredith took that little stick a little bit further, and he used to sing the song. He used to say, "The fat lady hasn't sung yet, but she's warming up." And then he would begin singing that song, "Turn out the lights, the party's over. All good things must come to an end." Yogi Berra used to say, "It ain't over till it's over." Now you Georgia fans remember that with Alabama. You Falcons fan, remember that in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, where you never was losing the game until the last second of the game. It ain't over till it's over. The beauty of life and death for those of us who know Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life is never over. It's never over. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is Lord for us. And if those of us who know and believe in Him as the resurrection and the life, even though we die, yet shall we live. And because of that, on this day of All Saints Sunday, we can come to celebrate because all those things that we think are final, they're not final. And that's good news. For all the saints who've ever lived and died, I love the visual of them looking down on us and clapping and cheering us on for this race that that's been laid out for us so that we might run triumphantly the race that's set before us. And when we do, we will hear, like so many saints before us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Now come into my glory." Thank God for the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for all the saints who from their labors rest. Thank you for this day that we can celebrate with them, that we can worship with them, and we can rejoice that you are the resurrection and the life. Amen.